Welcome to Calvary Church, where we are dedicated to loving God and loving people. If you want to know more about us, please check us out online at calvary.ca. Now let's check out this week's message.
Hello, and welcome to week two of the Encounters series. My name is Vince. I'm one of the pastors at the church, and I'm excited to carry on from the previous week's message on encounters. Angelic encounters in the scripture through the telling of the story of the coming of Jesus. And so as we kind of meander our way through, I find that this time of year is just fantastic and fun, yet can be a little overwhelming. I'm reminded of those times when as a child you were playing on the trampoline and you fell over and all your friends kept jumping, and regardless of whether you were still having fun or not, they just kept jumping and you're just getting kind of tossed all over the place. And that's what December can feel like, where it's a time of where it's like fun, enjoyable, all of these great things, but also a little topsy-turvy. They say this is your new normal. And I think that phrase is ruined for me since 2020, your new normal, because that phrase doesn't even make actually any sense, that your new normal is just typical chaos. If it's normal, then it means it's the same all the time. If it's new, it means it hasn't happened yet. So I don't even like that phrase. But the idea of this time of year just being so, you know, in and chaotic, and this is your life. And it's an excellent segue into our next angelic appearance and who we're going to talk that through. It's through the life of Joseph as he began with the entry of Jesus into the world and his perspective on angelic encounters. Before we get into it too deep, here's a little bit on Joseph. Now, I've had a chance to go to Israel, and there's a beautiful basilica there, the Church of the Annunciation in Nazareth. And they believe that this is where Mary received her message, that Gabriel came and said, "You're going to be the mother of the Son of God." And Mary consented, saying, "Let it be done according to your word." Well, the next person in this mix of things, we find Joseph and his angelic encounters and how he deals with that. When I was there, there's a church, a much smaller church near the Church of Annunciation, where we find the Church of St. Joseph, where it is held tradition that the church was built over top of his workshop area. And so this, as is often the case in Israel, you'll see church built on top of these, where these either tradition held or these famous events happened. And with Joseph right outside there, there's a statue of him, a bronze, big bronze statue, larger than life. And the knees are all polished off. There's a photo of that. The knees are all polished off, where people come and are praying and looking to Joseph to maybe answer some of their prayers, some of their problems. It's a challenging thing with where you receive a message and also to not keep your eyes on the messenger. However, instead, on the who is sending the message. The message itself, the one who sent it, not necessarily the vehicle by which it came. Now, Joseph was given his angelic visits through a series of dreams. He had three dreams, and it goes through in the scriptures this way. Matthew 1, 20 and 21, "But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him," Joseph, "in a dream and said, 'Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins.'" Like many of the other angelic stories you will hear, they saw the angel and were afraid because of what they were seeing. That wasn't Joseph's case. Joseph was encouraged. He never said he was afraid of the angelic dream. He was afraid of, like, don't be afraid to marry Mary, because marrying Mary will make you marry. And regardless of whatever way you use Merry, it was a Merry Christmas for Joseph. It was a Merry Christmas, and a Merry Christmas. Because he was tying the knot with his betrothed, regardless. And his receiving of the message via this angel, this powerful message, it wasn't to keep his eyes on the messenger. It wasn't terror from who he was receiving it from. Joseph's steadfast obedience. He loved Mary, and he knew that marrying Mary was going to make him marry. And throughout this whole process of things, he was able to keep his eyes on the message from God, not the messenger who sent it. And this can be a challenging thing for us as it works its way through. It's fantastic that he was able to come along with such trust and obedience. But he's also taking on some challenges because it wasn't his wife yet and she was pregnant. So he was taking on this challenge, but he trusted the message and the one who sent it. He's like, I'm going to have these challenges in life. There's going to be tools lying around. I'm going to say, Jesus, we need to clean up these tools. And he's going to say, you're not my real dad. And it's going to be this scene. He's like, oh, all the hassles. Of course, Jesus isn't going to do that. But the idea, everybody has their problems. Even Jesus had a stepdad. And sometimes it'll be referred to as a foster dad or however it is in your scenario, however you view that. But sometimes life throws challenges at you. And Joseph knew that he was taking on an interesting scenario. And so to be able to trust, it's not trusting in the messenger. It's trusting in the message and the one who sent it. Having his betrothed be pregnant. Now, a pregnant lady, she's beautiful. When you see a pregnant lady, and I get those same kind of vibes as like when you see a puppy. And I'm sure there's like ladies leaving the nursery right now and heading home for fear of their lives. Or you just, I don't know, there's something beautiful about it. You're like, I'm going to rub your belly. I don't know. There's something about this a pregnant lady that's just a beautiful thing. And his betrothed, where he was told, is conceived by the whole via the Holy Spirit, and is going to be giving birth to a son and to name him Jesus. There's a lot going on to be obedient to. And this is where Joseph, his calm, his steadfast, his trust in the message and the one who sent the message. Often we will keep our eyes on the messenger. Let's push ahead. Matthew 2:13. Joseph gets a second dream. And when they had gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. Get up, he said. Take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt. Stay there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child to kill him. Now, the circumstances around Jesus coming into Joseph's world, he needed some reassurance, and this comes via this dream from the angel. He's given instructions. There's not a don't be afraid. It's just do this. Take Jesus, take him to Egypt where he'll be safe because people are going to try and kill him. Taking someone to a new culture, many of you varying cultures, and this is your first stop from your culture of origin, and it can be a big thing, bringing someone into a new culture, his wife recently having given birth, and they got this new baby, and trying to navigate all these details, and it's a lot to take on. And so there's a reassurance in this message that the one who orchestrated this whole thing is taking care of you. Bringing someone to a new culture is a challenge. For example, in Middle Eastern society, like an area like Dubai, would have no idea, like in like a cartoon, they have no idea who Fred Flintstone is, but the children of Abu Dhabi do. I apologize. Packing up your family and putting them into this scenario would just be so overwhelming, but he was able to have this kind of reassurance that he was doing the right thing He was able to trust and obey the message and the one who sent the message. A third dream comes to Joseph. We read it in Matthew 2, 19 and 20. After Herod died, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream. Appeared in the dream to Joseph in Egypt and said, "Get up, take the child and his mother, and go to the land of Israel, for those who are trying to take the child's life are dead." Now, finally, he gets to go back to a place of familiarity, a place of, where he might know a little more that's going on and start building life with Mary and Jesus. Now, what a challenging start. And the message behind Joseph's encounters is one of reassurance. Things are going to be okay. And that God was speaking to him even in challenging times. This comes up with us. "Lord, I need to hear from you." And we see, well, you were able to do this for Joseph. Send me an angel. Speak to me in my dreams. Tell me in some way. Have someone come up and hear from you and share it to me. Lord, you can do this, right? Where we know, yes, he can. But there's more to the story for our perspective. Could the Lord just send an angel to everyone? Yes. But it's a tricky thing for us. You know what else is tricky? It's tricky to rock a rhyme that's right on time. It's tricky. Having, in our perspective of things, someone come into the seed to tell us what to do, we just like, "Oh, that would be great. God, is that you?" But we are never sure, you know, in this method of a dream, if it's the Indian food we had the night before, if you're having fevered tiki masala dreams, or is there something going on in life? Have you had your not had enough coffee? Whatever's going on, and there's no guaranteed way with this thought, but this angelic visitation where he knew beyond a shadow of a doubt means he had to know the character of God, and he was accepting of all this, that with God all things were possible. And this is part of Joseph's story, was to be able to come alongside in a tricky, tricky situation and still have faithfulness, still have obedience, and not getting caught up in the messenger. We love to get caught up in the messenger. Who's telling me? It's not just the product, but who's telling me? Our social media world is built on this. Will you say these things about my product if I give you a few bucks? Who's saying it? Do the stars have, you know, soft, supple skin? Well, I should use what they use. We love to evaluate things by the messenger. And from this perspective, it really becomes a challenge to not lay eyes solely on the messenger instead of the one who sent the message and the messenger. Who is sending the message? Is it the who is sending the message that's the important part to know whether it's trustworthy or faithful? Or is it more about, is my skin going to be soft and supple at the end? And this is one of the things that affects the plight of man. And an angel visitation is an extraordinary thing. So why not just send angels all the time? Because it sets up this system where there's always something to look for between you and God. And there's only one thing that's ever in this place, and his name is Jesus. The scripture says it this way in 1 Timothy 2:5. "For there is one God and one mediator between God and mankind, the man Christ Jesus." There's one step between you and the Heavenly Father, and his name is Jesus. Often, when it's a messenger, we will stop. We should do something for this messenger. We even see in the New Testament where, when Jesus was transfigured, and they're like, we should set up tents for Moses and Elijah. We see this because we think, oh, if I just this messenger is a big deal. But for us, it's how do I keep my eyes just on Jesus and forget all the rest of it? You see, Jesus is the one thing that's going to carry you through. Jesus is the one thing that's going to connect you to the Father. Jesus is the one who's going to reveal truth. And having Jesus be of a preeminent spot in your view instead of the messenger. We get caught up even in of ourselves. Matthew 6:7 says this, "And when you pray, don't babble along like the pagans do, for they think they will be heard because of their many words." We're hearing that not even your words can separate you from the Father. There's one connector. His name is Jesus. Don't look at the stuff. Don't look, oh, are my words right? Should I pray? I don't know if I'll get the words right. Your words don't matter. You think that your words, there's a special order of word combination, and then Jesus magically appears at the end. It's not how it is. The kingdom is built on faith. And even though having an encounter like Joseph had, he wasn't startled. He just trusted the message and the one who sent it. Words can't come between you and Jesus, and the only connector you need to the Father, his name is Jesus. There's a fantastic product modeled after St. Joseph. Where's my realtors at? Any realtors listening in today? Michael Cabal and Monica McLeod, and there's other realtors in the church. Maybe you've heard of this product. It's a St. Joseph candle. Okay, so here's a picture of it. St. Joseph candle. It's got a 4.6 stars on 2,100 reviews on Amazon. Now, with this candle, the intent is that you're supposed to bury it in your yard. Some people say you bury it upside down and your home will sell. But I was fascinated by the one-star reviews. They crack me up. LC writes, "I did everything as instructed. Absolute disappointment. The worst thing is that this isn't even a difficult or bad house. No one can figure out why it hasn't moved. Dropping the prices had no effect. Thanks for nothing, St. Joe." An unsatisfied customer with burying a candle. Jordan B. writes, this statue has been buried for over 2 months and nothing has happened. I must have bought the only defective one in the lot. His defective candle is setting him back. GJ writes, "The market died the day I put this guy out. Probably not his fault, but he's definitely not doing his job. A candle cannot save your home sell." And Jill R., finally, she writes this, I bought this because all my friends suggested it to sell our house. I buried it in the front yard. It was buried for about a week. I started feeling I should just pray directly to Jesus. And this is it. Jill figured it out. It's not a candle. It's not a thing. It's not a messenger. It's not me. It's not a small group lead. It is you and a personal connection to God. That bridged gap between us and the Father through his son, Jesus. But we love to take these things and put extra value on them. This is true. Okay, in St. Paul's Monastery on Mount Athos in Greece, they have what they believe to be the original gifts from the Magi. I don't know if it's real or not. It has no bearing on my life whether it's real or not. At the cathedral, the Dubrovnik Cathedral in Croatia, they believe to have the swaddling clothes of the baby Jesus, handed down by a lineage of kings as gifts, to finally they end up in this cathedral, the swaddling clothes of Jesus. For my own fun things, here's a picture of an arm. Now, Francis Xavier, he is a missionary to Southeast Asia, in particular India, Southeast Asia area, up through into Japan. And so when he passed away, his body didn't decompose. So they started sending his arm out on tour. This is the arm. And so they were, it was on display at a church in Coquitlam. So I had to see it. An arm, a decomposed, not decomposed arm cannot save you. A decomposed, not decomposed arm cannot heal you. There is nothing between you and God. The only mediator between you and God is Jesus. There is not a candle that will fix things. There is not a set of holy diapers that will fix things. A strong, powerfully built, intentional relationship with God through his son Jesus will help your life. You see, with Jesus, we have the incarnate. Jesus is the Word of God. It teaches that in John 1:14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. That was in my devotional this morning. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Trying to use something the way it wasn't intended to be used makes our mind go squirrely. It was like God speaking to one of his angels and saying, so what are they doing down there? The angel reporting back, they're drinking milk. Oh, God thinks, oh, that's great. I gave them cows and goats. What's their favorite milk? What are they drinking? Almonds, my Lord. We love using stuff the way it's not in an intended. There's one thing, one gift that is given that connects you to God, and the gift is Jesus. Now, in closing through, people ask when someone comes to faith and we give them some resources at the church, what are those resources? And so when someone fills out a yellow card and they give it to one of our small group leaders and they have a chance, and they bring it over, we pray, they get a package that looks exactly like this. Inside this package is the message, the messenger of the message. There is a Gospel of John in here. There is a Why Jesus booklet, and some of the things that go on at the church that will really help them get to know Jesus better. And for you, you're like, I've not led somebody to Christ. I've got, while we close, I got these quick four verses. There's these four spiritual laws carried through in the book of Romans, which we affectionately refer to as the Romans Road. And there's four numbers that you're going to need to remember. 323, 623, 58, and 109. This is the Romans Road. Romans 3:23, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We're all in the same boat. No one's saying that they're better than anybody else. We've all messed up in some way. Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ. There was a separation between a holy God and a sinful man, and this road that we're on goes to death. But Romans 5:8, God proved his love that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. While we were still in this separated state, God sent his son Jesus to bridge the gap between this holy God and sinful man. And finally, if you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Romans 10:9. Remember these verses. I'll say it out and you can repeat it after me, even while you're at home, wherever you are, you're on listening to the podcast, or whether you're watching this later or you're live through now. Romans 3:23. Romans 6:23. Romans 5:8. And Romans 10:9. You can help lead somebody through this journey. You want to give somebody the best gift this Christmas? It's not the wrapping, it's the present, and his name is Jesus. Let you pray with me. Lord, we are grateful for this time of year where we encounter you. We thank you for Joseph's story of obedience and steadfastness and and through his angelic visit, how he kept his eyes on you, Lord. Father, for us, as we go through and life comes and we have our victories, we have our challenges, Lord, we just want this season to keep our eyes on you. Help us be useful this season to encourage somebody else in the same road. Lord, let us present you with just such life and vibrancy and vitality. Lord, people would know that it is the one who sent the message that is the big deal. And his name is Jesus. We are grateful for this time, and we know you've got good things in store for us. We give thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. Have an amazing Sunday.